We're going to look at why I love the church. And as we think about that this morning, I want you to think about, why do you love the church? Now, as you're thinking about that, I want you to also realize I'm not talking about the church, this building. This is a beautiful sanctuary. It's just been renovated. It's just had a new coat of paint put on it, and a lot of things have been done to it. It's beautiful. But this is not what I want to talk about this morning. I don't want to talk about this building. What I want to talk about is the church. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 5, we see that this is also talking about the church, beginning with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this body, his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. As we think about it, we see that the illustration is told about a 97-pound Labrador retriever named Marley, and it's claimed to be the worst dog ever. This dog is terrified of storms. This dog will tear anything in its path to get away from the storm. It has gone through numerous screens and windows and things like that. It chews on everything, the furniture. It eats food. It takes it off the table when they're not looking. It eats sponges, socks, tissue paper, plastic toys, anything that's around. And as you think about all that, the question is asked, why would you have a dog like that? But there are also good qualities about this dog too. And so as we look at that and think about that this morning, we think about the church. Now, there's been a lot of stink that goes on about the church. There are people that will say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. I love Jesus, but I don't love this church, this building, this bunch of hypocrites. This is what is portrayed throughout the country, not just in this area, but all over the world. Surveys have been done on top of surveys, and they have seen that this is what's happening. We see that the church, yes, has mistakes. We are, after all, what? Imperfect, aren't we? There's not one person here that can raise their hand and say, I am perfect in every sense, every way. I have never sinned in my life. We are imperfect. Therefore, this church body is imperfect. We're not going to find a perfect church on this earth, are we? No matter how hard. And if you do find it, or at least in my case, anyway, if I do find the perfect church and I step into it, guess what? It just became imperfect, didn't it? So as we think about that this morning, the church is the same way. We see that the church has its faults. We make mistakes. We get angry sometimes. But how many of you had siblings? How many of you had brothers or sisters growing up? Did we get along great with them every time? We fussed, we fought, and maybe still do, don't we? Disagree? But there's one thing about it. When there was times of trouble, we had each other's back, didn't we? We took care of one another. When my brother was in school, he was 4 years younger than I was. He got in a fight one time, and as they were discussing this fight, I saw this young man that was going to sneak up and jump on him behind, and of course, I came around and was going to meet him. Not two of them were going to jump him without me being involved in it, and I was there to protect him, to help him during that situation. Thankfully, it was just a shouting match, and that was it. But it could have been much more. But we were always together. We always supported one another in times of crisis and things. And I think that many of the problems that we have in church today, we have the same reasons. One of the reasons I love the church is because Christ demonstrated that he loved the church. He loved the church. He died for the church, didn't he? and he has become what we call the head of the church. And this is what this scripture is saying, that we need to love. John 13, 34 through 35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." How Baptist churches started? Most Baptist churches, most new mission works that we see today are started simply because this family couldn't get along with this family, so this family left and what? Started a new church. They got some growth and they couldn't get along, so then this group moved over here and started a new church. That's not missions. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. He is saying that if this world wants to know about Jesus Christ, the first thing we've got to do is what? Love one another. And if we can't love one another in this church, how do we love everybody outside of this church? And that is the reputations that churches have today. Well, I'm not going to that church. All they do is fuss and fight. They're hypocrites. They don't care about us. Now, one of the things in my studies that I found out that in these biker gangs, they are taken care of. You join this gang, yeah, there are a lot of negatives about it, but let me tell you, when you became part of that family, you were family. In the 1920s and 30s, when they had the gangsters and all of that stuff going along, you became part of the Godfather, you became part of that family. And they took care of you financially. They took care of you physically. In every sense, in everything that was there, you were part of the family. But what happens if you cross the family? It was death. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. The greatest thing we can do is to love one another. I used to tell my youth group simply this. They'd come back and they'd talk about somebody that picked on them, or they got so mad at somebody, and I said, "You really want to get even with them?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Kill them with kindness." "What?" "Kill them with kindness. Love them to death. Love them to death." What's going to happen? They will get so mad at you, they will just turn around and stomp off and forget everything. What they're looking for is what? They're looking for you to get right back in their face, aren't they? They're looking for a fight. And as they're looking for a fight, if you show love to them, it infuriates them, doesn't it? So this is what Jesus is talking about. Can you imagine standing there, letting these people from the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, make fun of Jesus, beat him, spit on him, nailed him to a cross, and he had the power in his hands to do what? Smack every one of them. But instead, he loved them. He loved them. He died for them, just as he died for you and I. So as we think about this morning, we see that his love is far-reaching and that it reaches people that may not be reached. We can do a whole lot. A person once told me this: you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Guess what? You set a jar of vinegar out and you set a jar of honey out, and where are you going to find the most flies at? In the honey. Exactly. So if you want to change the world, how do we begin? We've got to love one another, and if we can show love to one another, then we can show it without everybody else. And we can see that the more we practice this, the deeper our love is, which is the same as his, and that it is unconditional and sacrificially. God so loved the world that he gave his son, unconditional, sacrificially. Do we love that way? Do we share that kind of love this morning? Do we give up the fun things that we enjoy doing to do these things, to serve God? Do we give up to come and serve Vacation Bible School, Sunday school? Do we come to church because it's something that we feel like we have to do? If people find out I wasn't in church today, what will they think about me? That's not the right reason to come to church, is it? But it's also not the right reason to leave the church not feeling any difference either. if we have not gotten fed, it's not because the preacher didn't preach. It's not because the music wasn't played and sung. It's because we didn't put anything into it. We weren't loving. We were just sitting there. And so as we see, we also see it takes, Jesus takes care of the church. In verse 29, he says, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does. And so we see that it seems too often that the news of a parent nowadays not taking care of their children, not taking care of the kids, doing things that you would think were unheard of. For instance, there was a young man that was in the ministry in Richmond, had been on vacation. He came back, and the next day he wanted to just run in real quick and check his mail, check his emails and whatever. He left his little daughter out in the van. He got tied up. He took a phone call. Next thing he knows, he walks out and his daughter has died because of the heat in the car. And we talk about not taking care, and they press charges of murder against this guy. And you know, he's already in jail, isn't he? Living with that thought, I killed my daughter because of my stupidity. I left her in a car when I shouldn't have. He's got to live with that the rest of his life. And we want to persecute him for that. We see these types of things all the time. We see kids that are raising themselves. When our kids were coming along, we had a little boy that was a friend of Ben's. And when he would go over there, the parents didn't fix food for them. The little boy did. The little boy's responsibility was to wake the parents up in the mornings to go to work. He got himself ready for school. Nobody ever taught him anything like that. He had to do it on his own. And so we find that the parents are not taking care of their kids. God has taken care of us, hasn't he? He has provided for us. He is always there. And so we need to see that we need to verbally love one another, but we need to show it with the actions. We see that Jesus hurts when the church hurts. Christ hurts when people hurt. When we're hurting, he hurts, whether it's a physical hurt, mental hurt, or spiritual hurt. He hurts with us. He has never left us, and he is always there with us. And he feels what we feel. Paul had been persecuting the church. He had papers in hands on the road to Damascus to go and to what? Kill any Christians. When he accepted Jesus Christ that night, on the road to Damascus, his life turned totally around. Can you imagine when he started preaching what people felt? Yeah, right. Here's the man that's been killing all the Christians, now preaching for the Christians. He's just trying to do what? Draw us out so he could catch us. But Paul ended up doing what? The reason I understand more about this is because that's part of the music in Vacation Bible School I've listened to this week. Paul and Silas and their shackles and their chains, praising God. I can almost do the motions with it too. He changed his life. And when he was killing people, now he is loving people. He is willing to die for Christ. He preaches. He's been told not to do it, and he goes out and does what as soon as he's released? Preaches the word, shares the love of Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember that he hurts when we hurt. He cares for us. We see that he is the head of the church. Some people may say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Well, he is the church. As we established earlier, this is not the church. This is Withville Baptist Building. I don't know why we call it church, because it's not. That's wrong. It's like some of the songs we sing. Theology is not the best in the world, but we love them anyway. This is not the church, folks. This is the building. We cannot emphasize that. And we see that I love the church because I know that with God will deal with my emotions. God will deal with me. He will love me in spite of everything that I do. He will love me. He is the head of the church. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And so no matter what, he gave himself up for the church. He gave himself up for you and for me and all of the other people out here. The second thing we see this morning is I love the church because the church is God's family. We've established that already. We've talked about families already, how families come together. But I would also be willing to say that every family in this church, every family in this world has some dark secrets they don't want to share. In fact, there are probably some dark secrets in each one of our lives that we don't want to share. And in God's family, what he is saying is we need to come together to do what? Love one another just as he has. Pray for one another. And when somebody has a problem, we need to do what? Help them. Not make fun of them. Or see, I told you they were sinners. I told you they would go back to their old life. Have you ever thought why? At Bluefield College, we had a young man that could stand on street corners and preach the gospel. He could share the gospel. He could give out tracts to people. Pray right there on the streets with him. He had a young lady that was a prostitute one day that he witnessed to. She prayed that sinner's prayer. He invited her to church. She came. She came about a month. Nobody ever spoke to her. They knew who she was. They knew what her occupation was. And everybody just kind of did what? Kept her over here. After she quit coming, you know what came out of the words, mouths of the people? I told you she didn't really need Jesus. She didn't really know him. It's not that she didn't know Jesus. It's because the family decided to do what? Shun her. She can't be accepted because of what her past was. They should have been doing what? Trying to help her to see what? A new career, right? A new place of living, a new bunch of people to bring in. But yet we have a tendency to do what? Judge. We look at people. They got long hair, earrings, body piercings, tattoos. What do we think? I sure hope they don't come to my church. Right? Last church we were in, we had every month we'd have a cookout in the back of the church there and had a nice big area. And behind that, there was this humongous trailer court back there. Actually, it was about five or six trailer courts. And some of the kids would come up the street. And of course, you know, if you're cooking hamburgers, about 100 or 150 hamburgers and hot dogs, it's going to smell. You're going to smell it. And how many of us have been tempted to drop in on somebody when they're cooking like that? Well, these kids were that way. They were hungry. Plus, they smelled it. But yet, some of them had tattoos, and they were wearing shorts. And you could hear our people when they walked up and we invited them to eat with us and be a part of the thing. You could see them. They all sat at this table here and everybody else moved their chairs and stuff over here. They talked within themselves. And our church people sitting there, can you believe those people came to our church? Can you believe those people came up to eat with us? Because they were judging them because of the body piercings. They were judging them because of the tattoos. They were judging them because they didn't have the proper manners of eating. They forgot to wipe their mouths after they took a bite. Those types of things is what they were talking about. When what they should have been sharing is what? The love of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. This is what we're seeing. I love the church because it is God's family. God so loved the world. In Ephesians 3:14 and 15, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." In the beginning, God created every person that is born today is a family of God. Remember, God looked at Jesus in the beginning and said, what? Let us make them like us. So you see, everybody in this world is made like God. So how does God look? I had a person once ask me, I want you to draw God. And I thought, you dummy, you can't draw God. He says, why not? I've never seen God. I don't know what God looks like. How do you draw Him? How do you draw Him? Asked the same question to a bunch of children that were in Sunday school class. They didn't ask that question. Looked around and all of them were drawing. Some have drawn animals. Some drew their families. Some drew their houses. But they had something on that piece of paper. And guess what mine was? Blank. Blank. What happened? As a child, we're not ashamed to love Jesus, are we? We're not ashamed to sing these songs with the hand motions. In Vacation Bible School, I can see teachers and some of even the parents will come into the open assembly. And when the kids get to singing the words off the screen and they get to seeing the motions and get these kids up here doing these motions, the parents just sit there. Why? We're not going to do those silly motions, are we? The kids don't mind doing it. They don't care if they're in tune. They don't care if they hit the notes or don't hit the notes. They're doing what? They're singing about Jesus. And we're sitting there going, I'm not doing that stuff. What will people say if they see me doing that? I hope if they see me doing that, they're going to say, if the preacher can do it, I can do it. That's what I hope. But you know, that's what we need. Sometimes we need to go back to that childlike faith, don't we? Because children will teach us more than any adult Sunday school teacher can teach us. They bring us back to not being ashamed. They bring us back to remind us that we are part of the family of God. We sing that song, "For I am a part of the family of God." Do we really mean it? Do we really want to bring others into the family of God? Thirdly, I love the church because of the strong relationships. There has been some great relationships in the people that I have met in various churches. And there are some that I still am in contact with. And thanks to Facebook, there are some that I have met that were even in my youth group that are now married and have kids graduating from high school and getting ready to go to college. But it is so neat to be able to stay in touch and build these relationships. The illustration is told about the redwood trees in California. Now, you know how big these trees are. It's hard to imagine unless you've actually been there, and I've not been there, so I don't know. But I understand they are tremendous. In fact, I've seen pictures where they've actually cut semicircles in, and you can actually drive vehicles through them. But when the winds come through, you very seldom hear of one of those great big trees toppling over. Now we know, we've just been through it this past week or so. We've seen what wind can do to trees, right? Well, another thing that you may not know about these redwoods is their roots don't go deep into the ground. So how do they keep from getting blown over when the wind comes? Scientists said that what they have discovered, that all these trees, all these roots from each tree laps over each one. They wrap around each other. And so when the wind comes, it can't push one over unless it can push them all over, because all the roots are just entangled together with each other. Folks, we need roots today. And our roots need to do the same thing. And when Satan comes with the mighty sins and winds of stuff, we can stand firm, even though we may be shallow in our roots, if we are what? All rooted together. I love the relationships. We can pray for one another. We can help one another. We can do for one another. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins." Are we in the light this morning? Are we working together? Do we see It is great to know, and I have seen and heard people tell me to pass it on. They have written, you look into Bulletin, you look into Beacon, and somebody will write a note. Thank you for all of your prayers. Thank you for your cards. Thank you for the flowers. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the visits. That's what we're talking about this morning. Coming together, loving one another. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. We also need to know that we need to support one another. There are others that we just don't need to hang out with. There are others that we just can't go with everywhere they go because the things they do are totally different than we believe in. And so we need to separate us. That doesn't mean we cannot love them. It just means we just can't hang out with them. And then finally, the last thing I love about the church is because of her impact on this community. Our impact in our communities all over the world. When Angie and I went to Liberty, Texas for disaster relief, people were just tickled to death that we went down there, that we were working, feeding those people that were without power, without food, without lights, anything, no gas. And yet, as we would work, you would hear people going down the street, blowing their horns and hollering as loud as they could, yay, Virginia Baptist, we love you. They loved us because of what? The work that we were doing. We didn't have to be down there. We could have looked at them and said, they can take care of themselves. But because of the feeding that we were doing, because of the work they did, they saw us doing, they saw the love. And when we served them, when we gave them the meals out, we gave it out with a smile. We never asked any questions. There were some that we even had the privilege to pray with. And then, because of the work we were doing, there were some that wanted to know, what can we do for you? We could go anywhere in that town, and if there was a line, guess who got put up front? Those that wore those yellow shirts, those ugly yellow and blue shirts. But you stood out, and they knew you were Virginia Baptist. They knew that you were with Disaster Relief because of the love that we shared. And we are still in contact with one person down there now in that area. So we know what's still going on. The same thing when they went up to Gilbert with the floods. The same thing that we see that happens everywhere. We love because of the impact that we can have. We want to change this community. We can do it because of the impact that we have. And I'm not talking about the political things and this stuff. I'm talking about treating other people the way that Jesus has treated us. The church has been a conscience of the society. We should stand up for what we believe in. A couple of years ago, there was a guy that made a joke about the Islam religion and did a diagram. The Islamic people got upset and they made him retract what he did. You know what his statement was? I'm sorry, that won't happen again. I'll go to the Christians because they don't care. And sure enough, he started making comments about Christians and things like that. And guess what? He's never retracted because nobody has gone to him and said, we don't agree with that. We don't like it. Folks, we're not having an impact if we don't stand for Jesus Christ. If we don't show the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about we're going to boycott this or boycott that. I'm talking about showing the love of Jesus Christ. This is what we're talking about. The church has shown love and compassion to the unlovable. Have you ever been into a homeless shelter? Some of those people stink. I mean, it's to the point that you almost want to put a handkerchief over your nose or a mask or something like that, because of the smell. Can you imagine trying to love that person? Better yet, can you get in your mind Jesus with the 10 lepers? Nobody else would talk to him. not only did Jesus talk to them, but he healed them. And even at different times, we know that Jesus actually did what? Touched a leopard. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the talk in town with the Pharisees and such? Can you believe that Jesus touched a leopard? That sinful person, that scum of the earth, Jesus touched him. Can you imagine that? We need to realize that we have compassion for the unlovable. When we have visitors, and being one that has visited churches, I know especially what I'm talking about. When you walk into a church, nobody speaks to you. How do you feel? If you are greeted at the front door, you get a bulletin and somebody shakes your hand, how do you feel? But if you walk down and you sit on a certain pew, you will either get no response or you'll get this response. I can tell you're a visitor today, and you look up and you say, why? How can you tell? Because you're sitting in my seat. We have gotten so comfortable in this building sometimes that we forget. Wouldn't it be great to know that you could walk into your home church or a visiting church and know that people are going to sit with you? Have you ever walked in one and sat down and felt like you had the plague? Everybody's over here talking, and you're sitting here and nobody said a word. We need to reach the unlovable. First year that we did the Thunder in the Hills at Eagle Eyrie, the guy that we had was Larry Howard. He was a great musician, great singer. Had sung with Lynyrd Skynyrd and some of the rock and roll bands. He says, you know, I've had it all. I've had the money, I've had the homes, I've had the private planes. And he says, you know, none of that satisfied me. Finally, he took a crash and lost everything. It was at that point that he found Jesus. To this day, Larry Howard gets into more prison cells with his green guitar and shares the gospel with those that have committed murders, rapes, and everything else. He is one that ministers all over this country and all over this world to prisoners. How many of us would even think about going into a maximum security jail? Larry doesn't mind it in a bit. Larry also has a place out at Sturgis. And when there's Bike Week out at Sturgis, I understand that it gets really high-spirited, we'll put it that way. Larry has a house right on the main block where all the action is. He says the road comes right up. And they sit there, and when people come by, they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They give out tracts. They pray with them. How many of us would do that? This is what we're talking about this morning. Compassion for the unlovable. It's easy to love people that are lovable, isn't it? But how easy is it to love the unlovable? How easy is it to love those that don't agree with you? Those that hate you? I love the church because sinners should be able to find acceptance in the church. We give an invitation every week. We give opportunities for people to make decisions. And one of those invitations that we give is for you to confess your sins. And we invite you to come to the altar and give it to Jesus. Have you ever wondered why nobody walks down the aisle to give it to Jesus? Because we're standing here singing, and all of a sudden we do what? We watch that person walk down there. We quit singing. Our lips are moving. But then what is going through our minds? Gee, I wonder what sin they're confessing. Or either we say, well, that's an ugly person. I hope they're confessing their sins today. Right? The next person that should be doing what? Walking down that should have been us. For thinking those thoughts, because we just sinned too, didn't we? How many times? That's why I love youth rallies. You ever watch youth they will get in there and they will have that rock and roll music. They will jump up and down. They will shout. Their hands are all over the air like this. They are having a great time. They are enjoying the music. But when that invitation is given, all of that bouncing around, all of that jumping, all of that shouting, you see tears of joy. And when one person begins to come down this aisle, before they get down to the front, there'll be a half dozen kids with their arms around them crying, tears of joy, and praying with that person. Why don't we do that when we see somebody coming this? Why don't we come and gather around somebody that comes and pray with them? You don't need to know what their problem is, but wouldn't it be great to know that if I came and confessed, that somebody else would come down and just get right beside me, put their hand on my shoulder, and just start praying? God, I don't know what this person's problem is, but I just want to be here and I want to be a part of it. I want to love this person and I want to help this person no matter what that sin is they're confessing. I want to be here for them. Can you imagine that? How much stronger would that make us be? How would that help us? And the church has influenced lives. People's lives have been changed. My life was changed through my home church. My life has been changed through the churches that I have been minister of youth and education ministers and pastors in. My life has changed. Paul's life changed drastically. There's a guy named Jeffrey Dahmer who was an incredible, wicked man. In fact, they said he was one of the most notorious murderers ever. And he did things that disgusted most people. But he still was not too far from the grace of God. Nobody is too far from the grace of God. There is hope for every person in this world. The question is this morning, do I love the church? Do I love Jesus Christ? Do I love to influence people about the love of Jesus Christ? Do I love meeting people and helping people and doing things as Jesus did? He fed the hungry, didn't he? He healed the sick. He raised people from the dead, didn't he? He loved people. In fact, the scripture said that he went out the night before and he got down on his knees and he prayed to the Father for what? The people. And the prayer that he taught his disciples was not, "My will, Father, but your will be done." Teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Is that our prayer this morning? Do we want God's work to be done in our lives, in this church, in this community? Then we need to begin to love the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this message this morning. And to know, Father, that you love us and care for us and that you've sent us to do the same thing. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation is given this morning for those who make